things that have hindered us, that have trapped us, and that have ensnared us, and we say we will push forward. But God, we can't do that without you. And God, we thank you that you are a God with no limits. And so God, this morning we receive your power. Lord, we receive the power of your Holy Spirit that works in us and through us, that allows us to push through barriers that we've not been able to push through before. God, we declare, as that song said, we lay down our old flames, Lord, and it talks about freedom, God. That's what we embrace here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your, Lord, just your ability to move us past those things. Lord, that you are not a God of the past, but you're a God of our future. Lord, we thank you for that, and we praise you in your name. Just one more moment, Tara.
So as people were sharing the word, it just confirmed to me the scripture that I had kind of brewing in my heart. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 1:8, and it says, "He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little nervous about the day that we'll stand before the Lord, and I want so much to be able to present him the very best of my life. And sometimes I get bogged down with things that happen in life and I get set back. But I heard someone share once that our setbacks are actually setups. And it is God that will keep us firm until the end. We will be found blameless come that time. So I just want to speak that in faith from what we were already sharing. Oh, sure. So that's 1 Corinthians 1:8, and this is the New International Version. This is not the version that I read it in this morning. This is the one that came up on Google, but it says, "He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Thank you. All right. Church, you can be seated and absorb that. Amen. Well, we're continuing this week in our series, What God Has Done, and already witnessing that here this morning. And what I love is that we are so privileged to serve a personal God. God, creator of the universe, ruler of time and space, chooses to be involved in the intimate affairs of our life. He chooses to save us from our sins. He chooses to meet each one of us individually where we're at, and he speaks into our lives. It's always blown my mind, right? Billions and billions of people in the world, and yet even in this, you know, I don't know how many of us are gathered here this morning, but I'm certain that each one of you is hearing something different from the Lord this morning, maybe along the same thread, but just that, you know, that something that speaks to your situations, and I think that's so cool. But the reality is we consistently live life between two tension points that's been set. And when I consider what God has done, I think that one of those tension points is between understanding the personal nature of our God and understanding the sovereign, majestic power of our God. So we use words and phrases to describe God's personal nature, like love and forgiveness, healing, faithfulness, mercy, compassionate, father, friend. And when we talk about this awesome, majestic nature of our God, we'll use words like great and powerful, above all, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, beyond comprehension, mighty, unchanging, sovereign, eternal, ruler, I am. And so we have these two pictures that paint this God that we serve. And I remember when I began to understand this contrast a little more. We were on our way to Mexico for a missions trip, and we were driving down the coast of the Baja Peninsula near Ensenada, so it's along the Pacific coastline. And I remember coming over this one rise, and we got to the other side, and the view is actually up in their picture that just opened up, took my breath away. It just, like, I was like, oh, wow. And in that moment, something inside of me connected that to God the Creator, maker of heavens and earth, how big, how awesome he is, And I remember saying to, under my breath, because there was in a van load of people, like, wow, God, you did really good. It was something like that. It was very informal, but it was like he needed my approval. I don't think he did. It was more of a worshipful moment. Wow, God, you did good. And I was reminded of this as we traveled through BC this past week. I got home and I said to Ed, man, there are a lot of mountains and a lot of lakes in BC. Because everywhere we went, that's what we saw, of different kinds, different types. And I saw evidence again and again of God's creative power on display. And yeah, I'm shamelessly showing you some of my holiday pictures along the way. Minus the people in Groot, for those of you who might have been following. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world." And we see that reflected in the creation story. God who creates and does not fail. He is perfect in every way. We sang that this morning. You are perfect in all of your ways. Genesis 1:31 says, "Then God looked over everything that he had made and saw that it was very good." And I think God can say it's very good, and in his perfection, it really is very good. I can look at something and say, wow, that's really good. And someone else can look at it and go, yeah, not so much. Not God. So today, I want to renew our awareness of God's greatness. I want us to proclaim him as holy, set apart, and above all, that we can give him the respect and the awe and the honor that he's due. And so this was really on my heart. I joked with Tara Lee that I thought of nothing while I was away, and no, I actually did think of something, and this was just in my spirit, just ruminating over and over, to give him the glory that he's due. Psalm 33:8 says, "Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him." There's a proverb that exists that says, "Familiarity breeds contempt." And you might go, well, contempt's a pretty strong word. I don't think we contempt God. And yet what it actually means is that our view of someone, that familiarity of somebody, can lead to a loss of respect for them. And I'm not saying here today that maybe you've lost all your respect for God or anything like that, but sometimes we move through life a little bit unaware. We stop paying attention. There's that familiarity. And we begin to forget that our God is not just a personal God, but he's a God to be revered. He's a God to be respected and honored. And so this morning, I want to challenge us to renew our wonder and our sense of awe in response to God. And I have a few. I'm going to go all science-y here on you. I do like science. And I'm going to go science-y and just remind you of what he's capable of and some of the things he's done through creation. So first of all, we have the galaxies. And it's estimated by the Hubble telescope that there's about 100 billion galaxies in the universe. And they're saying that's just the strength of the telescope right now. They figure that they'll discover more as the science and the technology grows and they're able to see more. Now, our galaxy, the Milky Way alone, there's a number one, and then there's 18 zeros across from that. So I don't even know what that is, like a mega billion or a mega trillion. I don't know what the number's called. But it's that many kilometers across. But if I break it down into math, that means 2 million days of driving at 10 hours per day, 100 kilometers an hour. So to me, everything's about drive time. How long does it take me to get there? So 2 million days of driving at 10 hours per day, 100 kilometers an hour. Some of you might go 120, you'll shave that off a little. But it amounts to 5,479 years it would take you to get from one end of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. So just a little fun fact. Created by God. Beyond our comprehension. This here is a spotted lake. Anyone been there? All right, few people. This is in Soyuz, British Columbia. And the lake contains the highest concentration of different minerals, most notably magnesium sulfate, calcium and sodium sulfates, and again, more sciencey things. And during the summer, these spots become crystallized, And the lake evaporates so that only the minerals remain. And it says it forms natural walkways around the spots. Have you guys walked kind of around those or just kind of like, okay. So maybe there's a fence around it. No, I don't know. I've never seen it for myself in person. So just another one of God's creation, different from everything else. I mean, if you look at every lake, every tree, everything in his creation, nothing is identical, which is just astounding. Even the same species, nothing is identical. In the animal kingdom, 7.77 million species of animals in the world. And this one is a species of the swift bird that has an incredible horizontal flight speed, and it can stay in the air without needing to land for 10 months. 10 months. I know, right? It's all kind of like, what do they eat? What do they drink? But 10 months in the air. In the plant world, there's 391,000 plant species. This is the rainbow eucalyptus, and it has a unique, colorful bark and can reach a height of over 61 meters. So it's got, it might be hard to pick up on there. There's like a blue and a red and a green just in the bark. Anyone ever seen one of those? Apparently they're in Hawaii. Maybe Davidson and Elma will find out when they get back. And then us. Babies develop fingerprints 3 months after conception. So that's a pretty cool thing, that marker, that identity marker, is formed 3 months after conception. Another fun fact I learned is that the human heart will actually synchronize heart rhythms and pulse rate to the music you're listening to, which is why when you're listening to, you know, that upbeat, fast music, you feel like cleaning your house, and when you're listening to the other music, you feel like putting on a coffee and putting your feet up. So all of these things God created, awe, respect, wonder, let's embrace that again. He is far beyond our comprehension. And our response this morning is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord means respect, reverence, admiration. And I love this last word. It also means wonder. You know, where you look at something and you go, wow, how did that happen? How did that take place? And this story is reflected in Moses. It could look like, could look like this. So Moses, in the Bible, it says, saw the burning bush, and he was amazed. Didn't say he fell down first. He was amazed and thought, I need to get a closer look. What is going on over here? And then in response, God says, hey, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes. And he bows in this respect and reverence and awe of the Lord. Isaiah in Scripture. Excuse me. In Isaiah 6, it talks about the year King Uzziah died and sitting on a lofty throne, and Isaiah has this picture of the Lord. It says, I saw the Lord and I realized I was unclean and unworthy. He sees this awesome, just uncomprehendable view of the Lord and understands that, hey, in light of him, I am so much less. I am not worthy, is what he says. And then I love the fact that one of the seraphim in this passage flies to him with a burning coal and takes it with a pair of tongs and touches his lips and says, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sin is forgiven. So we come before the Lord and we realize, God, I'm not worthy. You are so big and you're so awesome. And yet he doesn't leave us in that place. Amen? He comes to us with forgiveness. So yes, we come to him, but we understand his awesomeness and his power in that moment. Roman soldier in Luke 7 says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish leaders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. And it goes on from there. And when Jesus heard this, it says he was amazed, and turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. So this man understood Jesus' ability to intervene in his life in a personal way, but at the same time, he had this awe and this respect and said, no, don't come to my house. Just do it from where you are. I know you can, because I'm not worthy. So what do we come to understand when we fear the Lord? What do we come to understand when we understand his greatness? And I think the primary thing is that we understand we are not in control. So as I was away with Timothy this week and we were doing various activities, one of those things was going up to Revelstoke Mountain. And we're watching the traffic on the roads and we're seeing that it's rather busy and lots of cars turning to go up the mountain. And so we're talking about, well, what if it's busy? What if the wait time for the pipeline roller coaster is X amount of hours? How are we going to do this? And I finally said to him, you know, I've learned that there's a few things in life I don't control. One of those is the weather. The other is the crowds. So we'll just roll with it. We'll just go with whatever happens when we get up there. And so often we forget what we're not in control of. We think we have kind of a say in everything that goes on and we can control and fix things. We work at trying to make our lives a certain way. We try to find our own solutions to our problems and our failures. And then we come to this place where we realize we can't actually force God's hand in anything. We are not in control, and we don't have a view of the big picture. God has this big picture view that he can see of our days to end and our days before and how it all works in the middle and the people around us and how that impacts. And so really, he is the only one who can do the things we need him to do in these situations. We have very little control at all. I think of a story at Christmas time that happened in our house, and I observed on our street here in Cranbrook, when we turn left out of our street, we have a very blind corner. And so there were many, many times where we would be like, you know, okay, the next car, and then you'd have to like screech your tires and turn left just in case, you know, a city bus was racing down the other way. So finally I thought, you know what, this is a little bit frustrating. I'm worried one of us is going to get hit, so I'm going to put a ticket into the city. Maybe they'll put like a slow sign around the corner. You know, I had all these great ideas of how they could fix it for us and make it great. Well, a couple days later or a month later, I can't remember exactly when, I'm out driving and I go to the end of the street and there's a sign there that's never existed before. And I'm like, that sign's new, isn't it? And this is the sign, no left turn. So, yeah. So I did that. Any of you who drive down that street, that would be my fault. So I had this idea of how it could be fixed. And in my wisdom and my big picture view of how the city of Cranbrook works, and they had an entirely different perspective as to what was needed there. So now we have to turn right and go all the way around no matter where we're going. And that's so true sometimes with how we approach God. When we don't have that awe and that fear and that respect of his big picture view, we try to take control and we figure out our own solutions and this is how it's going to work. And God just sticks a big no left turn sign and says, I got perspective you don't on the matter. Another thing we realize is that we are dependent on him, that we are entirely dependent. We talk a lot about understanding who we are in Christ, and that's vitally important. We need to have an understanding of our identity in Christ. But I think the fear of the Lord also comes with understanding who we're not. That sometimes we have this grandiose view of what we're capable of or what we can do apart from the Lord. And yet we need to be dependent on him. We are not perfect in all of our ways. Amen? Anyone here perfect in all of their ways? No, I got a no left turn sign on my street now. We are not perfect. So we understand that we are dependent on him. And I love that in that story of the Roman soldier, that his understanding, his fear and respect of the Lord, and his understanding of God's authority was credited to him as faith in Jesus. So as we come to the Lord with full dependence on him, that's credited to us as faith. That's what makes us people of faith, is our dependence on the Lord. And the last thing this morning that we realize as we fear the Lord and have awe and respect for him is that we are so very cared for. It loops back around. So as we acknowledge his greatness, as we acknowledge him with awe and respect, as we give him honor, as we bow before him and just say, God, I'm not worthy, we become aware of just how intimately he cares for each of us. As we relinquish control and we depend on God's greatness, we find that he meets us at those points of need. I can think of each time where I've come to that place where I've said, oh my goodness, God, you did so good. That's so awesome, where suddenly there's something in my life intimately where I've needed him to work, and he meets me there. And that generates that further respect and awe for the Lord. So when I think of what God has done for me, I'm so thankful that he's reminded me time and time again of his sovereignty in my life and his greatness, and that he's worthy of my respect. So this week, as we close and as we pause, I want to encourage us in this coming week. So this is not a right now response. This is a little different. This is a response I'm asking from you during this week, to worship as David did in the Psalms, to acknowledge the greatness of the Lord, to take a moment this week and to pause. That situation that speaks to you of his awe and his greatness, it could be out in nature, it could be a song that you hear, it could be something you see in the scriptures. But as you have that awareness of his greatness, to just stop, pause for a moment and say, God, you're awesome. You are worthy of my praise. You are far above all creation. You are majesty. You are creator. All of those things, because we were created to worship him. Amen? We're not created for him to do everything that we ask him to do. We were created to worship him and acknowledge him. And as we acknowledge his sovereignty, remember that he will meet us intimately in those places that we need. So I'm going to invite you this morning just to close in prayer with me. And I'm going to ask Donnie and the team just to come as we close in a song. So Lord, we thank you that you are a great God. Lord, I think of the Psalms where it talks about the hills melting like wax in your presence. God, you are so powerful. God, you are beyond our comprehension. There is nothing that you've done here on earth and created the galaxies and the universe and the trees and animals and everything that you've done, Lord, that we can possibly duplicate. God, you are far above us. And so, God, we acknowledge this morning your holiness. We acknowledge that you are worthy of our praise. And God, we say that you are great and mighty and awesome. God, would you renew that in each of us, that awe and wonder for who you are? God, if we've forgotten or maybe been a little bit complacent, Lord, if that familiarity with you has breeded just a loss of respect in that way, God, I pray that you would bring us back to an awareness of your greatness. We thank you for this and we praise you in your name. Amen. Well, would you stand with me as we get the opportunity together to declare the greatness of our God?